Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station there in Madison, North Florida. We're so glad that you have tuned in once again to this station and to this broadcast. And if you're listening by computer anywhere on the World Wide Web, we welcome you back from any state in America, any nation in the world that God has somehow allowed us to hook up together for a time of study in the Word of God. Don't change that dial. Don't leave for a little while. It'll be something that I believe will help you live an overcoming, victorious life if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, that you might hear what Jesus has done to save you on the cross and the power of His sacrifice and what God has done through His Son because He loved you so very much today. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be bound. God has given everything that pertains to life and godliness to us through His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we're very excited about what the Lord is doing in these days, in these last closing days that we are living in. The Lord is moving by His Spirit. Praise God. And mighty things are taking place. We should have a spirit of holy anticipation and expectation for God, our great God, to counter all of the threats to the gospel of Jesus Christ with His miracle-working power. Power to save, power to deliver, power to set free. Praise God. And we're seeing answered prayer where that power is coming into play. And it is so exciting to see God moving in families, in circumstances, in situations, supernaturally. So we're just got a spirit of holy anticipation, expecting a continuation and an acceleration of God's supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. That defines a miracle in some dictionaries. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're seeing these wonderful miracles of His grace and power. You have an enemy today in the enemy, but you have a greater ally in Jesus Christ. So we want to talk about victory over the devil. We want to talk about the power of the blood of Jesus. We want to talk about literally pleading the blood of Jesus Christ in just a few moments. We would like to invite you, if you want to know more about us in particular, if you would come to our website, just type NTHCOG. It should take you through, if you Google that, that's computer lingo, and you know it if you have a computer, to our website. You can also type in Pastor Robert A. Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E, and it will also take you to our website. We're based here in Tampa, Florida, where I have been pastor of the Holy Church of God for, this is halfway into our 37th year. Married for 47 years, praise God, and we're just going strong for Jesus, amen. I'm now 63 years of age, going on 64, halfway to 64, and God has just given me a brand new spiritual thrust in my heart. I feel like preaching more than I've ever felt like preaching the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm absolutely committed to doing it as long as there's breath in my body, strength to walk around, and a voice to talk with. I'm going to tell the old story over and over again, because there's no better news and there's no other hope than the gospel of Jesus Christ for this world. But there is hope in Jesus, and that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about a term called pleading the blood of Jesus. And this term is not a scripture. It is a scripturally, biblically supported statement. And every Christian should know how and when to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Simply stated, it means to declare and stand upon the finished work of Jesus on the cross for our victory. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I want to read a scripture out of the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And talk about a specific way in which we need to plead the blood of Jesus. Listen to this very carefully. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. Now there is a particular way that Satan, the enemy of the church of Christ, of every Christian, literally every person, every soul, even those who are not saved. Satan is your great enemy today. He wants to see you destroyed. God is your great ally. He wants to see you saved and delivered. Praise God. But we have an enemy. All of us have an enemy. The Bible said that we should watch and pray. For our adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's where we need to understand how to overcome him in every way that he comes against us. And, oh, by the way, I know there are those that may be listening saying, you surely don't believe in an entity called the devil. Well, yes, I do. Not just because the Bible declares it. That's the first and foremost reason, but because I have fought him tooth and toenail, if you please, ever since I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it was D.L. Moody talking to a journalist, and the journalist asked him a question. You seem to be a very intelligent and articulate man. How can you believe in an entity called the devil? And he simply replied, if you don't believe in him, just try opposing him sometime. If you've ever stood up for what is right and stood against what is wrong, stood for the light and condemned the darkness, you will find out that you have a very real adversary in Satan. Listen to me today. There's victory over this adversary through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a finished work at the cross that gives us the foundation to stand our ground against the enemy of our soul. And a particular way that we need to defeat him is in this area of accusation. The scripture just declared that he is the accuser of the brethren. If you go back to the ancient book of Job, this entire situation and scenario in the book of Job was the result of a fallen angel, the devil, who came up unauthorized into the presence of God. And God asked him, what are you doing here? He said, I came to talk to you about your creation. I came to talk to you about the people that you say you love so much. They don't love you back. They don't want to serve you. They're just using you for what they can get. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? And the enemy said, oh, if you've blessed him, you put a hedge around him, you've just blessed him exceedingly. Take the blessing away and he'll turn on you, curse you. And God said, no, he won't. This whole situation in Job's life where the hedge came down and Satan was allowed to touch everything but his life, it all came down to, will a man serve God for naught? Will he serve him for who he is, just not what he can do materially and physically in the temporal sense, but for the eternal? Will a man do it? A man did it. His name was Job. And though he had questions, so many questions, he never gave in to turning against God and cursing Him. In fact, he said when he was pressed, "Why don't you curse God and die by his wife? Because he seems so God-forsaken." He said, "I know my Redeemer lives. And at the last day he will stand upon the earth. And though the skin worms eat my body, yet in my flesh I shall see him." Praise God. He had a revelation of the resurrection and what it was going to mean. Ultimately, though this temporal world falls and this temporal body fails, praise God. Amen. He said, when he stands up, I'm standing up with him. And if the skin worms have done their job and eaten the flesh off my bones, yet in my very flesh, I'm going to see the Lord. Praise God. Kind of answers the question, will we know each other when we get to heaven? Well, Job said, if you know me here, you're going to know me there, because the very flesh is going to come back together. Praise God. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Venable, how can that possibly be? Well, the Bible said God, the God that we serve and the God that we're declaring unto you, is able to subdue all things unto himself. Praise the Lord. He's got the blueprint. Praise the Lord. When you were made, and he can bring all of that back together, because he is God. Hallelujah. To the glory of the King. Praise the Lord. Our King is a mighty King today. Well, listen, there is an accuser. That's the whole circumstance of Job. He came to accuse fallen man before a God who loved them and had a plan to save them ultimately. But the enemy wanted God to throw that plan away, to close his heart of love and grace and allow man to be destroyed, just like Satan's fate, so he wanted man's fate to be. But God wouldn't allow it. And he said, listen, I have a servant who would not turn against me and not forsake me ultimately. Though everything in his life seems to crumble around him, he will ultimately keep his faith in me. Praise God for Job's standing. That test and proving a point. There are those who will love not their life even unto the death because of their love for the Lord. Amen. And though it seems so many are compromising in this last day, friend of mine, I want you to know there are those who, push come to shove, will follow the Lord no matter what. God has always had a people, and he will always have a people. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Let me define that word in the Greek. It's kategoros, and it means a complainant at law, literally an adversary in the legal or forensic sense. And the accused means to be charged with some offense. One of the names of Satan, the opposer, in the Greek is diabolos, from the word diabolo, which means to accuse or to malign. It's exactly what he was doing against all mankind when he came up and this situation developed that Job won this victory over. Listen, here we see the primary strategy against the redeemed. He constantly seeks to malign us, accuse us to God. He seeks to defeat us by disqualifying us from the power of God's love and grace, to discourage us from trusting the Lord and believing God. The accuser's great weapon is condemnation. The believer's greater weapon is the victory resulting from Christ and the cross. The blood of the Lamb, our sin sacrifice. The word of our testimony, our confession of faith. And loving not our own lives, even unto the death, is our dedication, our devotion, our consecration to Christ. at the Pan American Games, champion United States diver Greg Louganis was asked how he coped with the stress of international diving competition. He replied that he climbs to the board, takes a deep breath, and thinks, "Even if I blow this dive, my mother will still love me. My family will still embrace me." Then he goes for excellence. Friend of mine, God loves you. He's in your corner. He's for you. Today, you can rise up from the dust of defeat. You can conquer doubt and force fear to flee. You may loudly proclaim your victory and liberty through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can plead the blood of Jesus. You can pledge your heart to Christ and Christ alone and defeat the devil, the flesh, and the world system. All simply because God is for you because of the blood of Jesus. Let's read this wonderful, powerful truth from Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through verse 39. Paul says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword," literally war, "as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Praise God. I'm going to zero in here on verse 33 and verse 34 for just a few moments. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. I like this from the Amplified. Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there then to condemn us? That charge against God's elect can only come from three possible sources: from ourselves, our own conscience, or from others who never forgive, or from Satan himself. Satan is the main one to accuse us. He not only does so before God, but before our own damaged emotions and conscience. He also uses others to accuse us as well. Paul answered, "It is God that justifies. All other condemnation is pure rubbish. It holds no merit before God and should hold no merit before us." Paul gives us a fourfold answer to remove all grounds for Satan or anyone else to condemn God's own. Number one, it is Christ who died for God's own. Jesus died to make us God's own. And it's his death that we should be rejoicing in on the cross and returning to every time the enemy raises an accusing voice against us. If we've confessed our sins, if you've confessed your sins, I want you to know your past is past. And the devil can try to dig it up, but God just won't bring it up against you. And if God doesn't, we don't have to listen to the enemy anymore. Someone has said, as no one by accusing can prevail when the judge absolves, there remains no condemnation. when satisfaction is given and the penalty is paid. Martin Luther, great preacher of old, had a dream in which he stood on the day of judgment before God himself, and Satan was there to accuse him. When Satan opened his book full of accusations, he pointed to transgression after transgression of which Luther was guilty. As the proceedings went on, Luther's heart sunk in despair. Then he remembered the cross of Christ, and turning upon Satan, said, "There is one entry that you have not made." The devil retorted, "What is that?" And Luther answered, "It is this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." Friend, it is Christ that died. That is why God can justify us. His atoning blood was shed. Yea, rather, the Bible said, who was raised. Not only did he die for us, but he was raised. Verse 34 said, it's Christ that died who is raised again. And Romans 4:25 said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm going to read the Amplified again here. Our acquittal and to make our account balance, absolving us from all guilt before God. Justification here is a legal term, meaning to remove the guilt, liability to punishment of the sinner. The demands of justice have been satisfied. Hence, there is no ground for condemnation. Praise the Lord. Jesus died. His blood was shed. And we can plead that shed blood because God accepted it in that He raised Him from the dead, to validate that that blood sacrifice paid in full the penalty for our sins. Someone said the next time the devil reminds you of where you've been, that means bring up your past, remind him of where he's going, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been justified. One young Christian said justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Praise God. Just as if I had never sinned. And that's how God treats the believer that has come to Christ, repented of our sin, and invited Him into our heart and into our life. Make no mistake about it, the enemy will tell you you're not worthy. But grace isn't for worthy people. Mercy isn't for people who have never failed. Grace and mercy is for sinners who have failed, but they have come to God believing in the sacrifice of His Son and repenting and receiving Jesus as their Savior. You've got an enemy that wants to condemn you to the point of saying, I don't feel like I could ever change, and I know I'm not worthy. I keep sinning every day. I won't make promises I can't keep. Listen, God is not asking you to make yourself worthy. God is asking you to come to Him just as you are, with all of your sins that enslave you, with all of your hang-ups, with all of the things you've done that you couldn't undo. It's too tangled to bring the whole tangled, tarnished mess to Him. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And believe me, today the enemy wants to stand with his finger and tell you that you could never be saved, you could never change, and God could never accept you. He's a liar. And the father of it. The truth is, Jesus died for people just like me and just like you. You know what the Bible says about your great sin? Where sin doth abound, His grace doth much more abound. God's willingness to save overrules and overrides the fact that He must judge sin, because He judged our sin in His Son so that we might be forgiven. Raised Him from the dead to clarify, to solidify our salvation, to ratify the blood of Jesus Christ, that it was accepted, this holy sinless blood from this holy sinless one who died in our place. God accepted that sacrifice so that we could be saved. Don't stay in Satan's prison house any longer if you're not a Christian. You can be set free today. You can come out of every habit, every sin that has enslaved you. You can be free today because of the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. Call upon the Lord in spite of the condemning, condemnation of the devil in your own conscience. Call upon the Lord. The Bible said, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come with a repentant heart and cry out to God today. And that prison, no matter how strong the bars are, and those prison doors are going to be broken open by the power of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your enemy wants to keep you in prison so that he can imprison your soul forever in a place of torment, eternal banishment and punishment. But your God wants to deliver you, save you, set you free, and set you up as an example that in the postmodern world, in the 21st century, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friend, God can save you today if you will put your trust in Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you right now to the table of grace. I'm going to invite you to come if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. There's much more to study here in pleading the blood of Jesus. But the first plea from the heart of man should be that we are coming just as we are, trusting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We believe that He died and that He rose again on the third day because of His death, burial, and resurrection. We can come and have every sin forgiven. We can come to the cross. We can come to the God who gave His Son for us. In the name of the Son who died for us. We can come with penitent, repentant hearts. And God will set us free from the penalty of sin. He will set us free from the accuser's power. He will set us free from that guilty conscience that nags us, gnaws at us, saps all the joy of living from us. We can say goodbye to the past and hello to the eternal future that God has for everyone that trusts in Him. Today, if you're a Christian and you're struggling, because you have not been perfected, and you have hang-ups, sins that you feel you can't conquer, I challenge you and I charge you today in Jesus' name, plead the blood of Jesus. Claim His finished work and declare to the enemy, "You'll not keep me from believing my God for deliverance anymore. What He's done for me is enough to set me free. And today I take my stand. Having done all, I stand in the finished work of Jesus Christ." You ought to break out in song. There's power, power, wonder, working power in the blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you live for Christ, victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. Well, we love you today. Please come back next week. Let's continue this study and let's talk about Jesus. Treasure.
the power.